Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Route Mobile, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hardik Sangani from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I would like to welcome everyone to Route Mobile Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. I would like to thank the management of Route Mobile for giving us the opportunity for hosting their Q1 earnings call. We have with us the leadership team of Route Mobile, Mr. Rajdip Gupta, Managing Director and Group CEO, Mr. Gautam Badalia, Chief Strategy Officer, Mr. Suresh Jankar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. John Owen, CEO Europe and America, and Mr. Milind Pathak, Chief Business Officer. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to the slide number two of the presentation for detailed disclaimer. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rajdip, sir, for further proceedings. Thank you, and over to you, Rajdip, sir.
Thanks, Hardik. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is safe and sound. We are happy to be back to discuss our Q1 earnings with all of you and carry on the momentum with which we ended last fiscal year. While we have been working in the new normal and hybrid mode of operation, most of our staff returned to the office from 1st of July. We have accelerated several operational tasks since the time we started working from office. In this last quarter, while our performance has been strong, we had adverse impact in April due to DLT teething issue faced by enterprises and the slower pace due to the second wave. We also had a reduction in banking traffic due to some frivolous claim of security breach. After thorough internal investigation and third-party audit by certain impaneled auditor confirmed that there was no data breach or security issue, the banking traffic has resumed, and we are on track. On our key initiative in the last several weeks has been enhancing and ramping up our security practices. In today's environment, where there are routine data breaches, some real and some frivolous, it is paramount that we protect our customer data better than ever before. We have made and taken some significant enhancement to that end, as you will see in our presentation little bit later. Now, during our last call, I spoke about our transition from CPaaS to CXaaS, and that to end, we acquired an email stack from Serve during the last quarter as a part of our omni-channel strategy. We are very bullish on email services that is SendClean as a part of our CPaaS stack and are building a separate SBU for it. We intend to invest approximately $12 million over the next three years to create a world-class email platform and scale our email business across the globe in both enterprise and self-serve format. Additionally, one particular channel in our stack, RCS, is gaining significant ground with enterprise adoption, and RML has been widely acknowledged by various stakeholders within this ecosystem. This will be a key component of our services as the industry progresses. I'm also excited to tell you that we are launching our first developer self-serve platform under our flagship branding called RAPID. This initiative has originated around 2 years back, but we had to put this on a back burner due to the pandemic. In Q2 FY22, we are getting ready to launch and open up the worldwide developer community and access to our API to further strengthen our reach. Our operator side of the business continues to witness strong momentum as well. On the firewall front, we have gone live with BSNL India, Novotel Bolivia, Liberty Mobile LATAM. We have also received an LOI from Tigo Tanzania. On SMSC front, we deployed our SMSC at BSNL, and renewed our SMSC contract with Telenor Myanmar, Ericsson Myanmar, and Vodafone Idea. We have also deployed a first-of-its-kind hubbing solution with Du Telecom in UAE. RML will manage the entire platform and services for Du Telecom and enable them to serve their enterprise clients with the same simple and effective platform we operate. Before I hand over this call to Gautam, I would like to highlight one note concerning the acquisition of Phonon Communications we have discussed in the last call. Due to the non-fulfillment of all the condition precedents by Phonon, we have decided not to pursue this acquisition further. We have been in discussion with the team and pushed to complete the transaction. However, due to delay and lack of positive action from their part, we have decided to move on. With this, I request Gautam and the team to walk us through the presentation. Over to you, Gautam.
Thank you, Rajit. Good evening, everyone. Hope you and your family are safe and fine. We have already uploaded our quarterly earnings presentation along with our email business roadmap strategy on our website as well as on the stock exchange websites. Hope you had a chance to go through the presentation. I'll quickly summarize our financial performance during the quarter gone by before opening the floor for any Q&A. The key takeaway from our financial performance in Q1 FY22 has been the strong revenue momentum that we have been driving despite Q1 not being the best quarter in terms of seasonality, as highlighted in slide 17 of the earnings presentation. Further, as highlighted by Rajdeep, our volumes in India were impacted largely due to two factors. Industry-wide impact on volumes in India during the month of April 2021 owing to the teething DLT issues faced by enterprises. Then there was an alleged data breach on our servers. We conducted an independent third-party security audit, and basis their findings, it was concluded that there was no breach on our servers and all our customer data are secure. However, some of our large banking customers wanted the third-party security audit reports before resuming the traffic. This adversely impacted our high-margin banking traffic in India during the month of April. However, as a matter of reassurance, things stand completely normal now. We have resumed most of the banking traffic that we had lost during the month of April. Despite the adverse impact on our India business, we were able to demonstrate a YOY revenue growth of 22%. We continue to witness very strong momentum on the next generation products, which demonstrated a YOY growth of 130%. You may refer to slide 19 for the same. As Rajdeep highlighted, as part of our omni-channel strategy, we acquired the email platform from Serv during the last quarter and have created a separate strategic business unit branded as SendClean to drive this vertical. We intend to ramp up the current team from 10 employees to over 100 employees in a year's time. The business would be driven from two geographies, essentially US and India. In terms of the email infrastructure, it is already deployed at US, Germany and India. The Indian servers are being upgraded at this point in time. And we further intend to deploy new servers in Middle East to cater to the enterprises where we are deeply entrenched at this point in time. In terms of capital allocation, we'll be investing $12 million in SendClean, the US entity, for the next 3 years to scale up the business. We aspire to generate revenues of $30 million in the 3 years time frame. And as all of us are aware, email business entails very high gross margins. So this business will drive gross margins northwards of 80%. With this backdrop, I'll quickly walk you through our financial performance in Q1 FY22. Revenue from operations grew by 22% from 3096 million in Q1 FY21 to 3775 million in Q1 FY22. In the quarter gone by, billable transactions decreased from 6.96 billion in Q1 FY21 and 8.76 billion in Q4 FY21 to 6.86 billion in Q1 FY22. Due to reasons mentioned above, the billable transaction volumes in India decreased from 4.8 billion in Q1 FY21 and 6.78 billion in Q4 FY21 to 4.75 billion in Q1 FY22. This actually resulted in India's revenue as a percentage of total revenue decreased from 43% in Q4 FY21 to 33% in Q1 FY22. I just want to highlight, I think things are back to normal now, and July would be, basis the daily revenue run rate that we are clocking, July would be the best month in the history of Route Mobile in terms of the performance. Average realization per billable transaction increased significantly from 0.45 paisa in Q1 FY21 and 0.41 paisa in Q4 FY21 to 0.55 paisa in Q1 FY22 owing to the fall in the volume processed in India and change in country mix. Gross profit margin expanded from 19.4% in Q1 FY21 to 20.4% in Q1 FY22. There was a significant increase in the employee cost on a YOY basis, which was to the tune of 50%. And as we have been highlighting, and we have been investing into hiring the right skill sets to drive various avenues of our business, essentially the new products. So the employee cost had increased from 130 million in Q1 FY21 to 196 million in Q1 FY22. EBITDA grew by 23.6% from 398 million in Q1 FY21 to 491 million in Q1 FY22. EBITDA margin expanded from 12.8% in Q1 FY21 to 13% in Q1 FY22. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 28.2% from 295 million in Q1 FY21 to 377 million in Q1 FY22. Adjusted PAT margin expanded from 9.5% to 10% for the same period. We've been able to maintain attrition rates in the vicinity of 10%. With these highlights, we open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hardik Sangani from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So a couple of questions. So in terms of 10P, so just wanted to understand what would be the key market for the product and what would be the go-to market strategy for towards that. And secondly, in terms of client addition, so just wanted to understand, in terms of $1 million client addition, there has been one, for FY22, we expect that we will add $1 million client. So just wanted to check if it's a, so as the year ends, are we hopeful that we will be adding, to the extent we would have added before in previous years? And thirdly, so just wanted to understand if the average realizations have improved, then the key reason for gross margin decline is primarily on account of, as you mentioned earlier, account mix, or are there any one-offs also towards that? Thank you.
Sure. So I'll request Milind to take the new
question. I'll try and answer the question on the Centrine strategy and go-to-market. So as Rajdeep and Gautam mentioned, Centrine has both the approaches of the market. One is a self-serve model, which is you come on the platform, register yourself, put your debit credit card, and then go on to pay for whatever service that you buy from Centrine. The second model is an enterprise model, so we are activating both the models simultaneously. The target markets to start up will be predominantly India, which will run through Centrine Private Limited. And the second market we are registering is Centrine Inc., which we have registered a company in US, and that entity will focus on all our self-serve as well as geographies like US or English-speaking Europe and those kind of areas, right? So that's the core go-to-market and the focus on the markets that we're talking about right now. Gautam for that.
Sure. So I think if I've understood your query on the land and expand strategy you were talking about, so this year again, I mean, we'll see significant additions definitely to the $1 million bracket. There are some good clients that we have added, and they have tremendous potential in terms of scale up. So we will see a lot of clients kind of moving into the $1 billion bracket and then graduating the higher billing brackets. I don't know if that addresses your query.
Just to add, Gautam Rajdeep here, Hardik, I think just wanted to give a small brief about the email stack which we have acquired. I think the email stack is already proven in Indian market, and the current setup is doing almost a billion email every month. And we are very hopeful that the same platform which we have right now can easily compete with send companies like SendGrid, SendinBlue or SparkPost. Because the kind of infra and the kind of technology the SendClean has built has the capability of going and competing with those giants based out of US. And we as a company are very bullish and focused that this is a target area for us. Yeah, Gautam.
Sure. Moving to your last query around gross margins. On the gross margin front, I think the sheer loss of business from high margin enterprise clients in India during the month of April actually kind of led to some contraction in gross margins. But if you look at it from an overall split perspective, as I said, India, where we do a significant amount of enterprise business, that has fallen from 43% in Q4 FY21 to 33% now. So that is one reason why there was some contraction. But having said that, the rest of the geographies outside of India, we have been able to demonstrate almost of 25% growth. And it was surely India which kind of had almost a 21% degrowth on a QOQ basis, which actually led to, otherwise, I mean, we would have clocked significantly higher growth rates even on revenue front. But largely it was because of the high margin enterprise traffic which had fallen during the month of March that led to some contraction on the EBITDA margin, but things are back to normal now.
Just to add, Hardik, I think that this is the best part about Route Mobile. So we are not dependent on just one single market. We as a company are we are having a footprint all across the globe. Even if we see some kind of downfall one particular market, it will not impact overall the revenue of Route Mobile. And that is why we are very unique when we talk about as a CPaaS player in Asia. And because in, if there's a certain issues in certain market, that will not going to impact my overall revenue. And that is the kind of thing we have proven in last quarter.
Got it. Thank you. I have a couple of questions, but I'll come back in the follow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Nippon India AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, team. Congrats on the numbers. So just one question on this email business. So, you know, what sort of cost buildup will be there other than this, let's say, from an OPEX point of view?
Good question, Manish. I think the cost for us is, I think the technology and the stack is already there. You have to see the entire cost in two parts. One is the human cost and another one is the marketing cost. You know, we need to have more people in terms of support and technology and other side than marketing is which we need. Apart from, I think the technology is fine and that's the only cost we see.
So would it be fair, let's say, even if I take, you know, salary of that 100 employees at company average and bill in, then let's say 20% odd marketing spend in 3 years, this business can be having EBITDA margin of north of 50%?
So, Manish, just to take that answer query, so we internally have kind of modeled around a 35% EBITDA margin. So for the investment that we are doing in terms of the $12 million, so with that kind of EBITDA margin, I think we should be able to kind of get a payback in 3 years' time.
And sorry, just one small query. So this 100 people we are adding, this will be what, largely feet on ground or telecallers or how, you know, just wanted to understand, because 100 in terms of our company size is, let's say, you know, on a 400, it's 100, so it's 25%. So just want to understand, you know, what sort of capabilities are we adding here?
So there are... Yeah, Rajiv. So, if you look at this size of the business, Manish, large part of our business is also going to be on self-serve. So, when you look at a self-serve kind of a platform, sometimes the ticket size of the customers could be $200, $500, $1,000, a lower ticket size. And there typically the people required are in terms of remote account management, remote provisioning people, remote support people, and so on and so forth, right? And when you start providing that service across the globe in multiple geographies, you need to then manage shifts, and you also need to manage 24/7 and so on and so forth, right? So large part of our hiring would be on technology, product, enhancement, features, engineering side. And the second part would be on advertising marketing, and the third part would be these account management, operations, support, sales, etc.
So I think, Manish, if I try and help answer it, is this will come from the working capital, so it will align to revenue. This isn't sunk cost and fixed cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Goel from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question is an extension to the previous question. You said, I missed the number. You said that the amount of investment that you're making in this business is close to $12 million, right?
Over 3 years, that's right.
Over 3 years, this will be a $12 million business and with a 35% EBITDA margin.
Over 3 years, the investment will be $12 million. 3 years, the revenue expectation is $30 million.
Okay, so you'll be adding $30 million to your... And this business will be a part of the new business that you report.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Just wanted to confirm, Gautam, you can give me that number. So you said 21% degrowth in India. This was volume, right?
One second. Yeah, that's correct.
And so, excluding India, what would be our volume growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis and YY basis?
25%.
This is 25% YY?
On a QOQ basis.
So, QOQ basis, there would have been a 25% growth.
That's correct.
Okay, right. And sir, I know the quantum would be very small, but what would be your revenue from that call center business now? So is it almost nil, or is there some revenue coming from there?
7.5 crores for the quarter.
How much?
7.3 crores for the quarter.
7.3 crores. Okay. And you expect this revenue to be in this run rate only, right?
Yeah, that's the run rate.
Okay. Right. You said that going forward, I mean, how do you expect the pricing? Because clearly your pricing has moved up quite sharply, and over the last few quarters, pricing has been the lever which has driven growth. And I'm not sure if you have received coupon-led pricing increases by your clients, but it has been more of mix that has led to that. So how sustainable is this 0.55 pricing going forward? How would you look at that?
So it should be in the vicinity of 50 paise to 55 paise. I think that is what we are guiding for this year.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manik Taneja from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, hi Manik, you are audible.
Yes. So, while I understand the impact on India volumes because of a couple of factors, just wanted to understand what drove the decline on the new product revenue, because that's on a very small base, and we are seeing increased acceptance of the new medium. That's question number one. And the second aspect is on the Punon acquisition. If you could talk in detail about what led to us moving off the acquisition, and how should now we be thinking about the way forward in terms of building our capabilities across multiple channels. Thank you.
Sure. So in terms of new products, right, I think this, we're also grappling with the second wave, and there is a amount of stability in terms of enterprise business. YOY basis, if you were to look at it, I mean, we demonstrated almost a 2x jump over. I mean, we have not lost a single client on the new product. bit, I mean, that's more to do with the seasonal aspect of the business rather than, I mean, we're losing clients, I mean, so to say. And,
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but there's a lot of disturbance on your line. We can't hear you.
Is this better now?
Yes, sir. You may go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So, Manik, I think you had a query on Fonon as well, right? So, Fonon, I mean, when we signed the deal, I mean, there was an expectation of doing the customary condition precedents and closing the deal. Unfortunately, I mean, the other side kept extending the long stop date and without giving any firm commitment. So at a beyond a point in time, I mean, we kept chasing that particular the founders of Fonon, but since we were not getting any definitive concrete feedback from him, I mean, we discussed it at our board meeting today and decided to kind of take a firm view and take a concrete action on this, because it was kind of, I mean, we were perpetually chasing that guy to kind of close the customary closing action, but I don't know, I mean, if there was a change of mind at that guy's end. So that was the long and short. I mean, there was nothing else beyond that.
Okay. And how should we be thinking about, because Fonon was a critical pie in terms of both giving us access to certain marquee customers on the travel and the financial services side, in addition to adding to our voice capability and thereby beefing our omni-channel capabilities. So how should we be thinking about that pursuit now?
So I think as far as the, I'll answer this in two aspects. One, the customer access element, and the second element is the product stack level. At a product stack level, we continue to work on and we are continuously onboarding customers on voice, inbound voice, outbound voice clients, quarter and quarter. We do have a stack to that effect. Of course, there are some elements in the product roadmap which brings us about a 60-day or a 90-day kind of a delay, but I think that from our customer experience perspective is not changing much. We are actively in that development phase there. So technology stack, I am not much worried. We are confident we'll be able to meet the market requirements. The second element is in terms of customer accesses. Some customer accesses on banking were always an overlap. May not have had a specific contact center technology as a product revenue stream, but as far as the customer is concerned, there was all customers, barring maybe one or two, they all had an overlap and had some of the other product of ours already deployed at the customer. So for us, customer is not really too much of a challenge. That is already well taken care of.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding this SendClean. Most of them are answered, but just want to understand what are the key things, one should be watching for. Would you be sharing any numbers on, the number of enterprises or the revenue separately for this? Because I do think that incrementally it will contribute significantly to the gross profit and EBITDA. And second question is, very interesting to see almost 300 plus million quarterly RCS messages. Wanted to understand what are the dynamics in the sense, unit economics here, how much revenue per message, and which are the geographies which are contributing to these numbers. Thank you.
Thanks for this question. First, let me take the email one. I think, as you know, we just completed the transaction last quarter, and right now we are into the process of putting up parameters, KPIs, and all of that, of course. And I think in our regular governance calls on a quarter basis, we will update across. Gautam can update more on that. On the second question on RCS, very valid question. We have been able to bring and onboard more than 10 clients who are actively using that as a channel. At this point in time, RCS as a channel is not a very charged channel, so we are doing it more like no cost to the customer at this point in time. And we are expecting that from next quarter onwards, we should actively start monetizing this. The pricing at an ecosystem level between the operator, the technology provider is being worked out. We have some indicative numbers on it, but I think it's a bit early for us to comment on it. Once the ecosystem decides the broader pricing on it, it's a solid start. The third element in this particular part is that the current focus of RCS that we are doing is, of course, India. We are also, of course, our platform and solution is deployable globally. But the aggression that India is picking up on RCS is really, really unheard of. And that's the reason we are very, very exceptionally proud to present this kind of a huge, massive traffic in a span of a quarter, pushing 300 odd million messages is brilliant from an adoption perspective.
So yeah, it is indeed brilliant. But you know what I'm trying to understand is that let's say currently, if I look at the blended pricing, or let's say international SMS pricing, let's say around 1 rupee, or domestic pricing is around 12 paisa or so. RCS would be priced significantly higher, and possibly we should have a gross margin which are much higher. So to that effect, I think if we are talking about this becoming chargeable, it could be a significant numbers from, let's say, two quarters out.
Yeah, so I'll give an indication. The pricing is not yet finalized, as I said, in the ecosystem, but I can give you an indication. Our initial feed from the ecosystem is that it will be between the pricing. So an SMS in India, I'm just giving an India example. SMS in India, let's assume, is at 12 paisa, and say a WhatsApp is about 30, 32, 33 paisa. Our belief is that the ecosystem will price RCS somewhere between these two price ranges. I don't think it will go beyond WhatsApp, and I don't think it will be as low as SMS. It will be somewhere in the middle. Now it is for the operator and the ecosystem players to generally define and set up benchmark pricing and then roll it out commercially.
But in terms of gross, yeah, please go ahead.
You are right that the pricing will be better than the current SMS channel, but your assessment on that is correct.
And if I look at from the gross margin perspective, should we expect 20-21% kind of a blended gross margin, or it should be much higher than that given it's a more value add?
So generally, our expectation across newer product, which we have always said in our previous calls also, that generally the new generation product should have a higher gross margin, upwards of 35 to 40 percentile. We believe that as the market matures and as the customer starts getting used to the benefit of RCS and seeing it on a slightly different methodology in a SMS inbox, we believe we should be able to stabilize and maintain our 35 to 40 percentile gross margin business for even RCS as a channel.
Okay.
Rajdeep here. I just wanted to add out here, Pranay, if you see the RCS ecosystem works within the operator ecosystem, and operator definitely is losing some kind of revenue because of WhatsApp, and they are definitely going to promote this as a more communication channel, preferred communication, two-way communication channel for enterprises, and they will definitely come with a pricing which is definitely going to lower than WhatsApp for sure. But the biggest advantage we are going to see from RCS, I think from SMS 1.0, which is impression to conversation, this is exactly what's going to happen with RCS. I think people will not prefer to use WhatsApp if they get the same facility within their SMS inbox, And that's why I think the potential of RCS in India or other markets are huge, and the adoption by operators in India is completed, and we see almost all the operator apart from BSNL have deployed the platform, and we do see acceptance from the customer end also to start using RCS.
Very interesting. Rajiv, from an international perspective, it's the same model. The carriers want to take that traffic onto their network because they've got revenue leakage at the moment. So there is a massive drive to RCS by every mobile operator.
Sure.
very interesting, and thank you for the answers. Just one last question. Early days, but can you comment, you know, how much would be market share of your in RCS currently? If because 310 million to me looks like a very strong number.
Just to share with you, I think I don't have actual number, but based on some data from partners, I think we are the highest sending platform in India as of today.
Very interesting. Thank you so much.
We have also been acknowledged by, I mean, some of the stakeholders in the RCS ecosystem, and which again is a validation of the kind of efforts that we have put. And now we are increasingly witnessing demand from large enterprises to test RCS, which I think sooner than later it will see the light of the day in terms of monetization.
In fact, to just add one more point, and what is making all of us at Root very excited about RCS is one of the highest traffic days for us has been upwards of 10 million messages delivered in one day, which is huge from an RCS deployment perspective. And what we hear from that it is not only one of the biggest in India, but even from a global benchmark perspective, when I look at certain committee forums on which we are partners and active propagators of RCS, when we tell this number, we have seen people drop the jaw there in terms of the volume that has been on a day there. So I think very, very exciting trends, and we hope to continue this trend on RCS as it goes forward.
Thank you so much. Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohan Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the question. So I want to check regarding the Rapid announcement that you've recently made. So is that going to be more of an open source setup, that something similar to what Twilio does in the U.S.? And how much of a growth can we expect coming from this? And would this be like a high margin business?
Yes, I think, Milind, let me start and then probably you can add to.
Sure.
We as a company are always developer friendly, you know, like whenever we build our APIs, we've always wanted to make sure we will launch our developer API program. And this whole idea we curated, I think, 2 years back. And now since I think the things are getting better and we are in a position where all our APIs can be thrown away for developers to build something great out of our APIs, we are launching some kind of a hackathon for a global developer, where we are also going to open all our APIs, including SMS, email, WhatsApp, RCS, you know, whatever we have. If you go to our website called developer.rootmobile.com, and I think we have already opened our APIs for people to go and test over the Postman. So yeah, Milind, if you can just add to this.
Yeah. So I think Rajdeep is very apt. The first phase of Rapid is a hackathon, which will start, and it's a global initiative. We are also partnering with a third-party player to help us organize and ensure that that hackathon is done. And mind you, we are right now still in COVID across in India and the world. So these are not the days where we'll get 100, 500,000 people under one roof and then create that whole event. We have to do all of it virtually. So the logistics and all of this is quite heavy, plus we are deploying a global project with a lot of awards and prize wins there for developers to actually develop solid use cases on the APIs. It's an initiative and a program. Aspirationally, you're right, Rapid will continue to focus as one independent unit and an independent revenue line for us as it goes forward. So we have developer as one revenue line, we have enterprise another unit line, we have operators as another revenue line, and so on and so forth. So yes, going forward, it will be a strong revenue driver as it goes across.
Thank you. And my second question would be, so you mentioned that July was probably the best month that you've had so far. It was a record month. So despite having one-off effects in the last quarter, you still managed to deliver 20% plus growth, and the guidance earlier in the year was 20 to 25%. Can we assume that you would comfortably be able to announce this year's numbers well ahead of 25%?
So Mohan, I will reserve this comment. I think we'll kind of wait for the next quarter performance to come in, and at that point in time, if it need be, we'll look at giving some comments around the guidance. At this point in time, I'm 20-25%. I think looks doable.
Got it. And just one quick follow-up on that. So can you give us some kind of guidance on what the volumes in July were like versus probably an average within 4Q last year?
So we are still not...
We still don't have the actual count, but we do see a growth for sure.
Got it. Thank you.
Just to add out to your question, I think probably if you see last financial year, Q3 for us is always the best quarter as compared to any quarters, right? But we have achieved the same numbers as compared to the last Q3 of last year. So in terms of the growth and from now on, I think we do see the growth, but whatever the guidance we are giving, we'll definitely achieve it. And probably based on our Q2 number, we will see we can give better guidance if possible.
Sure, no, sounds good. I don't want to put additional pressure on you. I'm sure there are plenty of people already kind of breaking down your neck on this front. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Keshav Lohati from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I want to understand, your quarterly run rate has been something like 10 crore for the new product sales. So how should we see this going forward?
So we continue to invest on the new product side. So I think historically the kind of growth rate that we have been demonstrating on the new product side on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we'll continue to do that. So there are some seasonality aspects which needs to be factored in. But besides that, I mean, the focus on the email business, where we have kind of devised a separate strategic business unit, we are kind of channelizing everything through separate entities, Sentient US and Sentient India. So there we have already committed a $12 million investment over the next 3 years. There are new products like up our sleeves, which will get rolled out very soon. Rapid will start, this quarter, I think we'll go live with our Rapid program as well. So a lot of these things will definitely augur well for the new products. And this year, as I think we had highlighted, we intend to kind of clock close to $10 billion in terms of the new product revenue.
Okay. Understood. As you highlighted this quarter, you know, due to sort of breach of banking, the gross margin has dropped a bit. So is it fair to assume in the next quarter, your gross margin would be similar like what we have achieved in 4Q?
Yes.
It should be. So, I mean, I'll just give you a directional perspective on this. So if you look at India standalone, I think we've done about 23% gross margin, despite that significant drop in volumes. So now if we were to kind of get that volume back, which we have already got it, by the way, right now, so it will definitely pull the gross margins northwards of the 20.4% that we have reported for the quarter.
Okay. Last question from my side. From last 3 years, your client concentration of top 5 has been somewhere around 45%. So directionally going forward, how should we say this number?
No, so I think there is some amount of some degree of diversification that has happened. I mean, the top client, if you look at it right now, from a quarter perspective, I think it has come off a tad lower than what it was in FY20. So there is some degree of diversification, and there are some big client wins that we have done, and some of them have, in fact, one of them has already come into the top 15 enterprise bracket, and we believe, I think, that client has the potential to be in the bracket of $10 to $15 million. So gradually we'll see some of these new clients leading to some amount of client diversification.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiren Dasani from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just can you maybe recap why there is a QOQ decline in the new product revenue? Sorry, maybe that question was asked earlier, but
so, Hiren bhai, I mean, we haven't lost any single client. It is just a seasonal aspect to the business. So I think we did about 30-odd crores in Q4. And March, apparently, I mean, most Indian enterprises, I mean, they use all digital channels quite a bit. So that happens to be, I mean, after Q3, Q4 happens to be one of our better quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So Q1 is just, I mean, it's a seasonal aspect. There is nothing more than that.
In last year, because the base was so low, this may not have been very relevant, or?
Ha, so last year, the base was very low. That's correct.
Okay. And sorry to harp on this gross margin question, but hierarchy-wise, isn't India lower gross margin than your international business, or is my understanding not correct there?
No, so Hiren bhai, even for the revenue that we have garnered in India right now, we have done about 23% gross margin. So if some of those and most of these banks, the integrations are very deep, right? And we provide them with dedicated infrastructure, which entails higher margins from that standpoint. So the fact that most of our top banking clients we were impacted because of the loss of traffic in April, that led to some degree of contraction in the gross margin.
Okay, but your India gross margins are generally higher than the international business, or?
That's because India we do a lot of enterprise business, and most of these enterprise businesses are deep tech integrations, dedicated infrastructure planned out, and hence the India gross margin, happens to be anywhere between 20% to 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. Okay. And finally, you used to disclose this metric called net retention ratio or net revenue retention.
Yes. So for this quarter, it was about 117%, but we haven't disclosed it because we would have annualized the Q1 number to kind of derive at the net revenue retention. So on an annualized basis, it's about 116-117% right now.
Okay. But as this enterprise revenue, which was lost because of this India disruption, it goes back, it should go back to that 130-140 range?
130-140%. That's correct.
Understood. Okay. Thank you and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Goyal from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. A couple of follow-ups from my end. You said that you expect about $10 billion from the new services. This is over what period, sir?
This financial year.
Okay, so FY22, you expect $10 million.
That's correct.
Okay. And overall, I'm not sure I got that, but you're saying 25% growth in FY22. What was, if you just correct me, was it volume growth? Was it revenue growth? What was it?
Revenue growth.
Revenue growth of 25% in 22. Okay.
That's correct. That's correct.
And out of this 10 million new services, how much is coming from 10 clean this year?
10 clean should be anywhere between 20% to 25%.
25%. Okay. And if you could just highlight the $12 million investment that you have announced here, just apart from employees, where are we investing that?
Sales and marketing.
So sales and marketing would be employees essentially, right?
No. When you say marketing, more advertising spend. When you do self-service kind of a business, there is a lot amount of paid advertising that we'll have to engage in. That would entail based on the geographies that we target.
So if you could just maybe explain what exactly do you mean by, self-service sort of clients where...
I'll explain. So typically what happens in a self-serve environment is that, let's say you do a search on, say, a Google or a Facebook or an Instagram, a client will click on it, land onto your website, look at the pricing plan, and in the pricing plan, he will say, I want to buy this particular pricing plan, register himself, put his debit credit card, and then pay on the website and complete the transaction there itself. The platform itself will automatically and through self-usage allow him to integrate his need to send whatever 100,000, 200,000, half a million emails that he wants to send. And all of this process will happen completely automated as a part of software as a service kind of a model. Then, of course, there are large accounts or large enterprises like, say, a bank or an e-commerce company or a retail company, etc., who may want to push millions or billions of messages, and there they would need more like a B2B enterprise sales and a support team. That's very separate, where they say, okay, I need a quote for a billion messages a month. So there would be somebody from the sales team who will engage with them, negotiate, integrate, and so on and so forth. Right? So these two are very different processes. What we mean by self-serve is the first one, where you attract customers or enterprises of smaller ticket size, but completely self-served through prepayment models.
When you say messages, you're basically referring to emails.
Email, yeah. When I say messages, I mean email, yeah.
Right. And just one thing, I just want to probably get your sense on, when you say that India business was a high, I mean, you say that it is a high margin business, but when I look at your SEBI disclosure, the historical margins for the past maybe 6 quarters, the average PBT margin that India has done is roughly 3.6. You probably have higher margins in UK and in Nigeria, which are close to 9% and maybe 10 to 11%. So I just wanted to sort of juxtapose what you said on India's business margin being higher in as compared to the overall company average.
So Vimal, we were referring to essentially the gross margins. Now in India, a lot of our clients are enterprise clients. And as I said, enterprise business entails higher margins than the aggregator business that we are doing, right? So from that perspective, I mean, a banking client or a retail or an e-commerce client, I mean, the margins today, we're doing northwards of 20-25%, between 20-25% gross margin, and especially after the DLT implementation, where we get a part or fraction of the DLT charges as part of our KT, I mean, these margins have expanded from the historical quarters. So on the gross margin front, I think we are doing about 23%, which I think is also demonstrated in the standalone financials that we have reported.
Okay. So basically, India has higher gross margin. Anyways, I'll probably clarify this offline. No problem.
Yeah. That's...
Sure. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mohan Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Just one quick question that I had. So during our last call, John had mentioned that we have a couple of larger clients in the US and Europe who we are like closer to signing up on, and we should get a little more information on that by the time of the next call. So I just wanted to know, have we closed those clients, or are we still like in the process of kind of wrapping that up?
I think I said we have some beachhead clients who we can build out a strategy from, as opposed to a closing. So yeah, we do have some very large global clients based out of the US and Europe that we see some organic growth out of those, but they're essentially the foundations that will actually build out more into those regions. But that's probably more of our growth strategy in Europe and the US from an organic growth strategy. But yeah, there are some deals that the pipeline's strengthening, but there's nothing imminent that, you know, I'd want to take to the bank tomorrow.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from Financial Quotient. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, and thanks for taking up my question. Though the best part of getting late in the queue is that most of your question automatically gets answered, so thanks to my fellow colleagues. Just a quick question. Could you please give some insights towards the increasing trend of the employee cost? It is basically an increase because of the headcount, or it entails something else?
No, so it includes headcount, the wage hike. I think both the things are included in the increase in employee cost. At this point in time, I mean, in terms of the senior management team, I think we are fairly well-organized now. The headcount increase essentially will be, I mean, from a Centene perspective or the rapid program that we'll be running at this point in time from that perspective. So largely, I think, yeah, Rajiv.
Fair enough. So what is the headcount if we have some number in hand currently?
So currently the total headcount is about 396 employees.
396. All right. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sri Gandhi from Haryana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, good evening, and congratulations for the good set of numbers on the year-on-year basis. So basically, my question was regarding the employee cost only. The employee cost, do you resume the employee cost to increase going ahead further also? How do you assume the employee cost going ahead further?
I think the subsequent increase will be marginal, so to say. I think, as I said, I think senior management team, I think, is well in place now. So it will only be incremental. And as I said, I mean, Centene, I think there would be increase in employee cost. And for Rapid, we will be entailing some amount of employee cost increase.
So as an FY21, it was around 4.4% of the revenue. So we assume it to be at the same run rate or may increase a little bit of like around 5.5%?
So this year, I think we are in the investment mode. As I said, I think the email front and the rapid front. So it won't come off. I mean, from the FY21, I mean, employee cost as a percentage of revenue. So it will remain broadly in that same vicinity.
Thank you.
Very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thanks, Arvik. I just like to thank everyone. And we as a company, I think we are going to focus mainly on our new product and new market, a very hello. I'm audible?
Yeah, I think you're audible.
Yes. We are very bullish about our new product offering, and RCS is definitely one area where we are very. We see lots of potential in various other markets along with email, and in coming quarters, we will see lots of growth in these two areas. Keeping that in mind, I think I'd just like to thank everyone. Thanks for your time and. Have a very nice evening. Take care.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.